Good morning. If you'd be so kind, please silence your phones as Donna leads us into Amazing Grace. Thank you, Donna. That was beautiful. Please sign the friendship pad that's in your pews, pass it on to your neighbors, and then pass it back to the center aisle. There are a few announcements I'd like to go through this morning. There's a diaconate meeting. I assume that's, it doesn't say here, but I assume that's immediately after it was before church? Oh, okay. Okay, that's already happened then. Tomorrow will be our first board meeting of 2019. Commissions for Spiritual Growth and Stewardship will meet at 6:30 p.m. At 7 p.m., all the rest of the commissions will meet. Let's see, the church directory for 2019 is in the process of being updated. You can review what is on there now in the directory located outside the secretary's office, and that way you can make corrections before it is printed. The deadline for corrections is January 27th, so that's very important. You might take a look at that. Mission meal on January 17th. This is for the Central Wyoming Rescue Mission, and we have responsibilities to host that on the third Thursday of every other month. That would be in January, March, May, July, September, and November. If you would like to volunteer for helping out with that, you can contact the Central Wyoming Rescue Mission or talk to Debbie Mestis. Am I pronouncing that right, Mestis? And the only other announcement I have here is for the holiday dinner for past and present elders. That will be January 25th at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. There is a charge for that. That will be catered by Bernard. So if you were wanting to attend that, it would be better to get registered now so that Bernard has a head count. The sooner the better. Are there any other announcements? Debbie.
Next Saturday, we're making blankets. We are now at 937. Our three-year anniversary will be the 30th of January. I'd really like to see if we could get as close as we can to that 1,000 mark. So if you want to come bring fleece or come help tie blankets or serge them, we'd really appreciate it next Saturday. And also, I was asked to provide totals of the number of people we serve on the sandwich ministry from July to December. And we have served 3,550 people. I mean, have received our lunches in the last 6 months. It means we're averaging about 591 a month. So thank you to all of you for helping.
Thank you, Debbie. Any other announcements? If not, we'll stand and greet one another. Get acquainted with your neighbors if you don't know them. And then we'll go on to our opening hymn. It is number 556, verses 1 and 4. Will you join me in the responsive reading? Trust in the Lord. Obey God's word. God's presence is in this place.
The Lord is with us every day, everywhere we may find ourselves.
Peace be still.
Peace be still, know the Lord.
Are you trusting in God today? Are you listening? Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we have set sail into the new year. We embark in the midst of winter, but we know spring will soon be here. We have before us a new beginning. A new day is dawning. We sail into our mission with no fear, for we trust in you, Lord. Our journey is now begun with nothing to hold us back. A gentle breeze leads us. We have put our faith in Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Lord,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Please turn in your hymnal to number 263. We will sing "Surely the Presence of the Lord" two times through.
Thank you.
I'd invite all the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning with Ms. Joan.
Are you sitting down already? Oh, wow. Come on. That's it. Huh? How are you today? How are y'all today? Guess what? You don't have to sit that far away. I'm not going to bite. Or are you afraid of me?
No.
No? Have you ever been afraid of anything?
Yeah.
Yeah? What?
A lot of things.
A lot of things. Me too. How about you? Ever been afraid? Want to share? Nope. Okay. Ever been afraid of anything? You want to share? Tell what it is? Nobody wants to say. I'm not going to tell either. Any of you ever been afraid of anything?
No.
I see heads nodding. Anyone ever have a day where they never was afraid of something? No? Good days?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Did you ever hi there, good morning. Have you ever been afraid of anything?
No.
Nope. That's positive. Now maybe, here comes your sister.
I know.
Maybe this young lady trusts in the Lord.
I do.
You do? Yes, I know. Do you trust in the Lord? Well, you know what? You know I like to sing, don't you?
Yeah, a lot.
I wonder, would you learn a song with me and sing?
Well, I know some songs from my grandma.
Well, I got the song today. Maybe you can teach
it
later. Well, next time.
Yeah.
Okay, next time. And you all are invited to sing in because we are all children of God. So I will start. Do you know Trust in the Lord? It's not the song you just sang, but it's a little different.
It's above your heart. It's in your heart.
Trust is in your heart. You are absolutely right. Yeah. Can it be in your head too?
Yeah, it can be anywhere in your body if you just believe in God.
I don't need to say anything else. Wow. Ooh, sorry about that.
It's okay.
All right. Try and sing with me, and maybe those of you might know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Can you do that? Let's say, trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
With all your heart.
With all your heart.
Lean not on your.
Lean not on your.
Own understanding.
Own understanding.
With all your ways. In all your ways. Acknowledge him.
Acknowledge him.
And he will make your path straight. Path straight. I should have brought the music, and you will hear them do that in the music. Is it an easy song? Well, we won't do it again, unless you want to. Do you want to do it again?
No!
But you know what? I'm going to talk about an experience where I was really, really frightened.
Really scared?
Really scared. But then something happened.
Did you almost pass out?
I didn't pass out. But you know what? I could have.
Yeah.
It was that scary. But suddenly, something happened to me where I could just turn it over to God and trust that he would do everything and keep everything in his hands. And everything would be all right. Do you think you have enough faith to do that?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Yeah. Well, I didn't know I had that much faith until it happened to me. I mean, I knew it up here.
But you didn't know it down here.
Exactly. Exactly. It had to flow into my heart.
I know it down here and up here.
You know, in both places?
Yeah.
Good. That is awesome, because that's where it should be.
Yes.
From your head.
To your heart.
To your heart, to your toes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Right. Let's have a little prayer. Can you say after me? Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear loving Lord Jesus.
Dear power of the Spirit.
Will you fill our hearts?
Give us strong faith
that we may trust in you
in all things.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's time to go.
Can I tell you my song?
Do we have time for a song? Maybe we'll do it in class. How about that?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's go.
Where are we going?
Oh, well, look at that. Thank you, sweetheart.
Do it.
As our children are headed out for worship and wonder and children's Sunday school, I invite you to look on the back of your bulletin for a list of prayer concerns and joys of the congregation. Our card shower today is for Marie Henthorne and her family. You'll find prayer cards in the pew rack in front of you. They're blank on one side, so you can write a note to someone who needs to know you're praying for them. Marie's daughter, Catherine Conley, had heart surgery on Thursday and was in ICU. The surgery was more complicated than had been anticipated, but she is on the road to recovery. Our prayers are with Catherine, with her sister Arlene, and with their mom, Marie. Some additions to all the names that are listed in your bulletin. We've been asked to pray for Riley Cole, for Virginia Yon, who has a broken foot. She has a fracture on one of the small bones in her foot. For Malia, who is struggling with addiction. For Wanda Gokenauer's granddaughter, Lyric, who's only 2.5 months old and has had a significant health diagnosis. For my great-great-grandnephew, Thomas, who is back in the hospital with juvenile diabetes. And Elaine Burkhalter would like us to pray for her cousin, Ronald Siski, who is in Omaha to have surgery for a blocked artery. And for Ronald's wife, Jean, who's having severe reactions to chemotherapy for ovarian cancer. The missionary we're praying for today is Andrew Cooper, who serves in Lesotho. And our regional prayer partners, if you'd like to sign the sheet at the back of the sanctuary, are the members of First Christian Church in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Their pastor, Don Marie Turner, has asked us to pray for health and discernment and vitality in ministry for their congregation. Are there others additions to the list today, others that we need to pray for this morning? Carmen. A joy at the 40-year mark for the Christian Worship Hour, a great way to share the gospel. Let us bring all these prayers to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. O Holy One, surely your presence is in this place. We take time away from the busyness of our lives to still ourselves before you and to seek your peace which passes all understanding. Lord, we lift to you today prayers for all those whom we have named. We ask for prayers of healing and hope for those we know and those we do not know. God, we ask for your strength to surround Marie and Catherine and Arlene. We pray for Catherine's heart to beat strong and sure as her body mends from surgery. Lord, we pray for those who are living with cancer, for Scott Whitcomb, Eli Halleck, John Barrett, Jean in Omaha. We pray for Ronald as he faces surgery for a blocked artery, for Virginia as her foot mends. We pray especially for those who are so young, who are struggling with health, for Thomas Cook and Little Lyric. We pray for Riley Cole. Oh God, you know the blessings that Riley needs in life. We pray for Malia and others who struggle with addiction, that they may find courage and strength in you, O God. We pray for those who live with mental illness of all forms. O God, we rejoice in places where your good word is proclaimed, in churches of all shapes and sizes, where the word is preached in every tongue, where songs are lifted to stir the human soul. We give thanks for 40 years of a television ministry that touches lives in the Christian Worship Hour. And we pray for Andrew Sheraton Cooper and others who serve as missionaries around the world. On this day, we ask your blessing to be with Andrew and the people he serves alongside of in Lesotho. We pray for Pastor Don Marie and the members of First Christian Church in Idaho Falls. Oh God, we ask that that church may be healthy and vibrant. Help them to discern your Spirit's leading for their future. Oh good and gracious God, the prayers we bring before you at times are spoken with confidence and courage, and other times are held in the secret whispers of our hearts. Lord, look inside of our lives and hear our prayers and answer in accordance with your will. In the name of our Savior, amen.
He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In our house of the Lord, all God's people are invited to join in communion. We'll begin by singing Spirit of the Living God, number 259, and we'll sing that through twice.
Thank you.
When we come to the table, the words, "Do this in remembrance of me," are emblazoned before us and imprinted on our hearts. We do this in Christ's memory. We break the bread and take the cup. We do this in remembrance of Christ. We feed the hungry and care for the sick or the suffering. We do this in remembrance of Jesus. We welcome the stranger and spend time in prayer and live faithful lives of service. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. Come to the table and remember the night when he was with his friends in the upper room. While there, he blessed the bread and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
As we gather here at your table this morning, loving God, to break bread, to share our cup, and to remember Jesus Christ crucified, open our eyes to see clearly our differences. We don't look alike. We don't think alike. We don't act alike. In fact, the only thing that draws us together in this community, that holds us together in relationship, is your great love for us, shown so clearly in Jesus Christ. And so, as we share together this bread of and cup of remembrance, of thanksgiving and presence, draw us more tightly into the spiritual tether that binds us to you by heart, that we might be better bound to one another by hands that serve, by arms that lift up and support, and by backs that gladly bear one another's burden. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
May we begin this new year in a spirit of giving. The deacons will wait upon us. Lord, accept our gifts as a token of our belief in you and our Savior Jesus. We offer these in support of your mission on this planet, Earth. Amen.
shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along.
And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Thank you, choir. We have several scriptures to hear this morning. The first comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for lengths of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of the people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine.
Now, if you'll turn in your chalice hymnal, not the Bible, but the hymnal, and I'll be reading from Psalm 46, and there will be a response by our organist, and then I'll read, and then you'll read.
Thank you. Beautiful trust is our God, our bulwark never failing.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The Lord of hosts is with us. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has brought desolations on the earth. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Israel is our refuge.
A mighty fortress is our God. A mighty Lord never failing. Our
final text today comes from the New Testament, from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in prayer, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning's message is a very personal story that will be shared for us by Joan McNamara. Joan is one of the newer members of our congregation. She and Bob found their way here after his retirement as the senior pastor at Our Savior's Lutheran Church. And Joan has been an instrumental part of our Christian education program, playing a key role in leading Vacation Bible School, spending time with the children in all kinds of settings. Joan, we look forward to your message shared with the whole church this morning. Joan has requested a song for us as her word begins, a response to Scripture. If you'll turn in your hymnal to number 566, we will sing, Be Still, My Soul, verses 1 and 3, 566.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. It's nice to be here again. I haven't seen you in a year, since last year. But we are now in the season of Epiphany, and that means, Epiphany means the revelation of God's love and light in the world. And as he's shown his light to three strangers in a far-off land who followed that star, not knowing where they were going or why, it led them and it revealed to them the light of God, the love of God in a tiny little baby. That is Epiphany. And now I have an Epiphany story of life and death and life again. It's not about Lazarus being raised from the dead. It's not any story from the Bible, but it's a true story. It's my story and my son's. And being a story, I'd rather be a little more informal. I'd rather that we be sitting around a fireplace, I don't want to put my back to you, and chatting, maybe drinking hot cocoa or tea or something. But it's a story that's quite personal, and it's been in my heart for the last 23 years. When my son was 19, he had a very unusual experience. But before that, let me tell you about him. At 3 years old, when we lived in Denmark, he was classified as a severely chronic asthmatic. And so we had all the medicine and all the paraphernalia that was needed to deal with his attacks, which were often and sometimes severe. But he grew up to 19. And he was healthy and strong and big. And he went on a skiing trip with friends and the family. First time he was away from mother's watchful eye. And while they were there, this was December 31st, mind you, New Year's Eve. They went skiing and they came back to the cabin in the mountains. And there was no power. No water, no light, no heat, no nothing. And the father went out to check all the fuses and whatnot, and everything was fine, no problem. All the cabins around them were working. Everybody had power and light except them. They decided to rough it out. They decided to rough it out and spend the night, and everything will be better in the morning. But it wasn't. In the morning, no power, no light, no heat, no water, nothing. So they had cold cereal and decided to go into town to the uncle's house where they could get freshened up and have a hot meal. While they were there, Rob had an attack. He did his puffer 2 times, nothing happened. He used the puffer again, nothing happened. He got out his nebulizer, filled up the machine, put on his mask, did what he was supposed to do. Nothing happened. By then, he was hardly breathing, could not call for help, and the only person who knew what to do was in the shower, and he passed out. The uncle called 911, and the paramedics were there within minutes, and they saw this young, relatively healthy man lying on the floor, no life signs, no breathing. And they decided they were not going to let this young man, they're not going to lose him on their watch. So they did everything they were supposed to do, hook him up to monitors and pumps and whatever, got him to the hospital and to the emergency room. And it was there that I got the call that I had been fearing for 16 years. I talked to the doctor. I called the doctor when they told me what happened, and I talked to the doctor in the ER. And he told me that my son's lungs had totally shut down. He was not breathing. There was no pulse. They put him on life support, and they were going to do everything that they could. Well, of course, being a mother who knows how to handle an asthma attack, I went through the list. Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you give him oxygen? Did you give him adrenaline? At that point, I realized how silly I was, because, of course, they knew what to do better than I did. And the doctor was very patient with me. And he said, "Ma'am, we're doing all we can. Please call me in an hour." It was a tough hour. Bob and our daughter Deb were home, and they had heard what was going on. And I instantly got on the phone and started calling my family. Bob got on his phone, started calling his family and friends. My daughter got on the phone and called all her friends. And within that time, we had our prayers going up from California to New York, from Minnesota to Florida, and everywhere in between, with people lifting up Rob in prayer. Now, the first person I called was not my mother, nor my sister, but my niece. She and I had a very special prayer and spiritual relationship. And I knew that if there was one person, only one person, I could have to pray, it would be her. So I told her, and she said, "I'm taking the kids and we're going to church." Now, this is New Year's Day at night. I called back to the doctor, and he told me, "Ma'am, there's no change. We're working and doing everything we can. He's on life support. We're doing it. But please don't come." Now, we're in Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio. And Columbus is in the middle of Ohio, kind of like Casper's in the middle of Wyoming. Rob was up in the mountains in in New York. And the doctor told me, "We're in the middle of an ice storm. Highway 80 is closed. We have lots of accidents. We're very busy." Those are two things a mother doesn't want to hear. Don't come to see, and two, we've got accidents and we're busy. Were they going to be too busy to care for my son? When suddenly something happened. In all the fear and worry and being terrified, suddenly an energy force went through me. I like to describe it as hot oil from the top of my head all the way down to my toes, hot. And I felt no fear, no worry. I knew everything was all right. I knew that Rob was in God's hands, and I didn't have to worry. So the doctor said something else, I don't know what, but we hung up. And I'm thinking, wow. And I look over at Bob and Deb, and they were holding each other crying. And I wanted to say, "Why are you crying? Don't you know everything's okay?" But I couldn't. The faith side of me said, "Yes, go ahead and say it." The doubt side said, "Who do you think you are speaking Jesus' words? You're a nobody. No one's going to believe you." So I didn't say a word. I kept that feeling of power and assuredness and calm to myself. Well, being a snowy, stormy night and knowing we had to get closer to New York, Bob had just taken a call to a church outside of Cleveland. So we called some people and said, "Can we come and spend the night?" and told them what happened. Of course, yeah, sure, come on. It was a couple days, what, 2nd of January, before we got up to the hospital. Rob was still in ICU, but he was sitting up. Oh, I have to tell you about my drive. Late at night, as we were driving, Deb and Rob were in the front seat. I was in the back. And every time I think I should be crying and tried to, I couldn't. That calmness came over me. And every time I felt I should be praying to God to save my son, I couldn't. All I could do was say, "He's in your hands and I know everything's okay." But I couldn't tell Bob, I couldn't tell Deb, I couldn't tell anybody what I felt inside. So when we got up to the hospital and saw Rob, he was sitting up in bed, wires all over him, IVs, monitors. And the first thing he said to us was, "I'm sorry." And then he said, "But God is in control," and he knew what he was doing. A 19-year-old? And there's a reason for that. A couple days later, well, Bob and Deb, we all talked to the paramedics and found out what they did. We talked to the emergency doctors and found out what happened while Rob was there. It seems that Rob fought them while they were trying to save his life. It seems that every time they put an IV in, he ripped it out. Every time they tried to put a monitor on him, he took it off. He fought to die. But there is a reason why. During his emergency experience in the room, four winged beings came and took him out of his body. He didn't see the doctors. He did not see his body. But he rose to a place that he calls total comfort, total calm, total peace, total love. He felt at one with everything. He tried to explain what this place looked like, but he couldn't. He said, "There's no words to describe it. The colors were incredible." I call it iridescent because I don't know what else. But he said he just wanted to stay there. It was so wonderful, and he felt God's love. But these four winged beings took him back into his body. And that's where he fought the doctors. He remembers hearing them talk. He remembers seeing them. And he fought like anything to get everything out of him so he could go back. The winged beings did take him back up to this room, this place. And he was so at peace. He just wanted to stay. But suddenly he knew that he couldn't. No words were spoken to him, but he knew that he had to come back, that his work was not done. And so the four winged beings brought him back into his body. While we were walking in the hall, and he's telling me, I told him about my experience on the phone, how when I was talking, this force, this warm, comforting, loving force went through me. And he stopped. And he looked at me and he said, "Mom, I was with you at that moment." Wow. There is an epiphany for me, a light bulb moment, a total revelation. We are one in the Spirit. It doesn't matter where we are, how far apart. We always talk about being one in the Spirit, but man, that made it come alive to me right then and there. "Mom, I was with you." Yeah. When Rob came home from school that year, he said, "I want to work in a hospital with people facing AIDS and facing death." He said, "I think I have something to offer them." He ended up being trained as a certified nurse's aide and worked in a nursing home for several years. He is now a psychologist, a life coach, a trainer. He has worked with people with addictions. He's worked with kids in an Outward Bound program who are at risk, not bad enough to go to prison, juvenile prison, and not safe enough to go home. His life is one of giving. But let me go back and tell you about when I called my niece and I told her about Rob's experience, about the four winged beings. And she said to me, "Aunt Joni, we prayed that Rob would meet his guardian angels and they would lift him up." Now, Rob never called these winged beings angels. He never saw their faces. He just said, "Winged beings lifted him up and took him down and lifted him back up and brought him back down. Now, the day after they came into town because there was no power in the cabin, the father went back to the cabin, found the lights on, the water running, heat, all power. Was it a coincidence that that very night everything went out and Rob had to be in town? I don't think so. When they called the ambulance, it was there within minutes. It turned out that the uncle's house was just blocks away from the hospital. If you walked out to his front sidewalk, you could see the hospital. Was it a coincidence that Rob was so close to help? Had he been up in the cabin, the ambulance never would have got to him in time. Had he been with me, ambulance wouldn't have gotten to him in time. Was it a coincidence? Or was God in control? That's my story. It's a revelation of God's involvement, his presence in, through, and around us at all times. But now comes the sermon. Yep, it's short. It's short. There are four things I'd like you to remember and get out of my story. Number one, no matter how dire the situation, no matter how afraid you are, no matter what the problem is, trust in the Lord with all your heart, because he is there and he is with you. Number two, we are all so busy in our lives. We make lists, write down what we're going to do, scratch it off when we do, or just add it to another day. We are so busy, let's take time to be still, to quiet our minds, to quiet our bodies, be still and know that God is. He is with you at all times, in all places, in all things. Number three, prayer works. Whether we get the answer we want, when we want, and how we want, God answers in his way and always will. He is in control. And number four, something a friend said to me when I shared this story with her, she said, "You just experienced the peace that passes all understanding." And that is the way only way I can describe that powerful force that went through me. And so my prayer for you today is that you will come to know the peace that passes all understanding. Amen.
Thank you, Joan, for sharing that story with us, that very personal and powerful experience. Our closing hymn today is Blessed Assurance. You'll find it on page 543 in the hymnal. We will sing all three verses of Blessed Assurance. If there's anyone this morning who needs the assurance of the peace that passes all understanding in your own life, if there's anyone here this morning who's looking for a church home, we would welcome you here at First Christian. If you've never given your heart to the Lord and you're moved to do so today, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing. This is our story, the good news of Jesus Christ, that God's love is for us and for all the world. There's a time of fellowship waiting for us downstairs in Fellowship Hall. There's coffee and refreshments. We hope you'll stay and greet one another. Share a story from your own life. Connect with someone this morning that you may not know. Introduce yourself. Feel welcomed in this place. A reminder to commissions and board members about your meeting tomorrow night. And Becky, where's Will's Trust Memorials meeting today? In the inner room. Do they have time to get a cup of coffee first? Okay, so if you're on the Will's Trust Memorial Scholarship Committee, get a cup of coffee first, greet someone, and then head to the boardroom for your meeting. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the story of the gospel, and we thank you for the story of personal epiphanies in our own lives when we learn that we are one in the Spirit, when we are still, and are reminded that you are God. May your peace, which passes all understanding, flow upon us and through us, that we might carry your light and your love from this place into the world every day. In Christ's name, amen.